This is Jeff Huerta from Vecno Robotics. We take material handling equipment and bring it to life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Robot Industry Podcast. We're glad you're here, and thank you for subscribing. My name is Jim Beretta, and I'm your host. And it's my pleasure to have Jeff Huerta from Vecno Robotics with me today. We're broadcasting from London, Ontario, and Waltham, Massachusetts. Jeff brings more than 15 years of automation leadership experience to Vecno Robotics with a strong track record of building world-class operations. Prior to joining Vecno, Jeff was Vice President of North America Sales at Belio, where he led the go-to-market strategy for the company's self-guided trucks. Previously, Jeff has held sales and marketing position with SICK, where he managed and developed the OEM packaging sales team for the North American market. Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jim. I'm glad to be here.
And Jeff, tell us a little bit about Vecno Robotics. You're a startup, but you're kind of a mature startup.
Yeah. So Vecno Robotics, we've been around for a little over 20 years in robotics and being in Boston, you know, a strong calling to MIT and, you know, trying to put robotics in different industries. Was it in healthcare and doing stuff for the Department of Defense? Those are, you know, past histories that have evolved us into focusing on material handling equipment in the logistics environment.
So what exactly are you selling these days? Like, what's your focus?
Gotcha. Our focus is what we do is we take a standard fork truck or material handling equipment, and we put our technology on top of it, technology being hardware, and then software. We're a software robotics company, and putting our technology to make it not just driverless, but fully robotic.
So let's talk about fork trucks, because, you know, it's one of those things that they're kind of ubiquitous, but let's talk a little bit about the history of fork trucks, and you must know a lot about this.
Yeah, the history of fork trucks. Yeah, so it's a good question. You know, fork trucks have been around for, you know, a very, very long period of time. People have been moving material around for many, many years. And the equipment has evolved from a lot of it being mechanically, hydraulically driven to electrically driven. Electronic power steering and assist has evolved, let's say, in the past 20 years. And that allows people like us to put our technology in and allow software to drive the trucks rather than having, you know, a human turn a steering wheel to power hydraulics and things like that. That's how, you know, it's really evolved the industry of material handling equipment.
So what's keeping you busy from like the industry types and your customers and the applications?
Good question. I mean, so customers call us and they're looking to move material throughout their building. And one of the needs really drives on lack of labor. It is such every one of my customers bring up the fact of not having enough labor in their building. So looking for us to take very non-value added tasks of moving pallets from one side of the building to the other and allowing us to do that because they can't keep people in that role because sometimes they just can't get the labor force for it.
And so from that perspective, like, who is your bullseye customer?
Great question. You know, people in manufacturing, retail distribution, e-commerce, you know, more and more people are buying product online to consumer goods, you know, part of the manufacturing, but, you know, food processing and things like that. People that, you know, make their product and people that just move their product for logistics are great customer examples.
And who do you sell to? Is it the sales like a CEO or CFO, or is it health and safety or operations? Like, who's that person that you most want to talk to in these distribution centers and other factories and such?
It's a great question. I mean, here, every one of the people that you just mentioned are involved. So health and safety, you know, what makes the product safe? Operations, you know, how is it going to work within my operations? The finance piece, or, you know, the CFO wants to understand what is my return on investment. So they all have a place because it's a product they've never used. They want to know how it can make it different. And it's like everything that's, you know, when you come across a topic that's unknown, everybody has interest. So we have to make sure we talk to each one of those individuals to make sure that they're all comfortable in their own way to say, yeah, let's dive into this type of technology.
And let's talk about workflow automation. What do you mean by like follow the palette?
Follow the palette. It's a great tool I learned from a colleague of mine that I worked with for, let's say, 5 years at my previous life. He was in the fork truck industry. And they used to, you know, it's a term that they used to understand where to put just certain types of fork trucks. It is just, you know, understanding where pallets come in, how they go throughout your building, and, you know, what are the processes around that? You know, okay, we take pallets from a semi-truck. We bring them in. We floor stage them on the ground. Well, why do we do that? We do a quality assurance check. Now, where does it go? Does it go to racking, or does it go to bulk storage, or is there cross-docking? And what we do is follow the pallet throughout the customer's facility and understand where there's low-hanging fruit of opportunities for our type of technology, and say, this is a good starting point for us, for you to get your feet wet in the technology, show your operations that it's working, make sure that, you know, people feel safe around it. So we use the term follow the palette to look for the best opportunity for us to, you know, our entryway into robotics for that specific customer.
I bet you that's a good study, right? Because I bet there's not a lot of people who actually think about following the palette when they're operating a manufacturing or distribution or warehouse or whatever.
It is great. You know, what's funny is a lot of our customers, they live in that warehouse day in and day out, right? And they've been doing things the way they have for sometimes 10, 15, 20 years. And sometimes we bring up certain questions when we do this technique. And we ask them, so why do you move it this way there? And sometimes they say, we don't know why. We've just been doing it for a long period of time. And then and then sometimes there is an adjustment to the process, right? It's not just about, you know, adding robots because of lack of labor, like I mentioned, but it's also creating an efficiency, right? So this gives us a perfect time to really help them understand, like, maybe there's some other inefficiencies that we can take advantage of when we apply our technology.
Yeah, it's because the other guy did it, and that's why we're doing it too.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's one of those things like, well, the guy previously here thought this was a good idea, so that's why we kept doing it. So
you must see, I'd like to talk a little bit about the culture of automation. I guess this question is more about the culture of autonomous automation in a big warehouse or a factory, because this is a different thing.
Yeah, it's so automation. You know, we like using the word autonomous mobile robot, AMR, and I imagine we'll come back to that in a second. But automation's been around for a long period of time. My father used to work at, you know, a custom automation house, and you know, it's very process driven, where it's like it's going to do this, it's going to do that, and that's all it's going to do, right? That's automation concept as a whole is, you know, there's some if-then thought, but that's really the logic behind automation. Why we always like to use autonomy, an autonomous mobile robot, is allowing robots like ourselves to make judgment for themselves, right? In a safe environment, and safety is always number one, but understanding its environment as we travel and making the decision to say, let's deviate the path a little bit because we understand there's an obstacle here, and really giving it the ability not to take the same route just over and over, but put deviations to that route because it's actually thinking.
And so what are some of the common questions that you get from the prospects you're talking about this automation with?
Common questions, you know, what makes it safe, right? Like, let's just attack safety first. You know, the autonomous mobile robots, AGVs have been around for 50 years. Some were like rail guided, right? Like they were on a rail within a building moving from A to B. So like any technology, eventually standards come out, right? So we live our life right now by an ANSI standard called ANSI B56.5. And for people listening, your manual fork trucks are under another ANSI standard called ANSI B56.1. It's just a derivative of that that really focuses on safety being the core of allowing this type of technology be in your building. And what makes it safe is this standard tells you what type of redundancy, how far away you have to be from a stop, how close you can be to hard structural elements. I won't give you all the details, but it allows it to put our technology in and give that customer that sense of comfort. Like after they read the standard, they're like, okay, we get it. Yours is designed to this level of safety. That gives them the, you know, the feeling that, okay, now I can really, let's put safety aside for a second, even though it's number one, let's really understand now how it can work in my building.
And so let's talk about safety for a second. Like what type of technologies are you using to guide the forklift?
Gotcha.
So, or do you call it a robot?
We call it a robot, to be honest. We call them robots. We can talk about naming structures. A lot of customers name them, put a little life into that robot. But coming back to your question about safety and navigation, safety, there are sensors that are called LIDAR. They're safety rated safety scanners. I think you even mentioned my history. I came from a sensor component company that really focuses on safety, SICK. And those sensing components are rated to what they call a performance level. They're rated to performance level D, which says that there's redundancy built into these sensors that if for some reason it were to fail, it will shut down the system and won't run autonomously. But saying that they're up and running and looking, and we shouldn't have to worry about the sensors failing, they're working in its environment and always checking.
And I think we should clarify, Jeff, for the listening audience, you actually only deal with brand new forklifts. Like, so a typical application might be, hey, I want to automate. I've got 100 forklifts. I'm buying 15 new ones. Can you take us through that a bit?
Yeah. So just like your cars, right? When you buy a certain model of car, it's the wiring might have changed over years past, or, you know, even a used car. You know, there's certain unknowns you wouldn't know about it. The fork structure industry has that same problem, right? You know, taking a used vehicle would be difficult just because of, you know, you don't know how it was treated before / how the wiring really was done for that specific model. So we really work with the fork truck manufacturers to understand its wiring. We only take new vehicles and apply our technologies to those types of vehicles, if that makes sense, that we understand the wiring too.
And so then, what does the ROI conversation look like when you're talking to the CFO? What's kind of that look like?
Gotcha. So, you know, they're looking for, you know, people in this industry want to have usually under a 2-year return on investment. Ironically, some other customers are coming out. We're such lack of labor shortage. I'm willing to live in a 3-4 year return on investment, but typically our products in that 12 to 24 month return on investment with a 2 or 2+ shift model. So if you know you're working around the clock, sometimes that's like 3 or 4 shifts, that's probably getting closer to a 12 month return on investment.
You know, and that's kind of typical from your dad's life in the capital equipment, like in the harder automation. The 2-year number just seems to have been around for a long, long time.
Yeah, everyone's always said, you know, if it's under 24 months, I'm willing to look at it, right? And yeah. I think they're just understanding, depending on what they're trying to achieve, some are willing to extend that life of that 3 to 4 year because labor shortage and I know I've hit that one, but let's talk about the others. Ergonomics and safety in just material handling equipment. You know, you're getting a new generation driving forklifts, don't have experience. Your risks go up. Also sitting on a fork truck all day and all night it's not ergonomic. When everyone started working from home, I remember during the pandemic, we're telling our staff, hey, you got to stand up more, move and whatnot. Same thing applies to the fork truck industry. It's not, you know, you're sitting in a chair or you're standing on a vehicle. So these are other reasons on top of the labor shortage why people look at autonomous vehicles like this is because ergonomics, it doesn't help, and the safety new fork truck drivers in your warehouse.
It's truly a really hard job, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's I had a customer give me this analogy, so I'm gonna borrow it from him. It's the opposite of an Uber driver. An Uber, why people like driving Ubers is they're talking to people, they're working outdoors, they're making their own hours. Living your life in a warehouse in a fork truck, and you're in air conditioned, right? You're sitting in an air conditioned car. A warehouse typically isn't air conditioned. You don't make your own hours. And if you're talking to somebody, you are, you know, you're not moving product for them. So our philosophy is let's put those people and keep them in your building and do something where they put some thought, have the ability to communicate with people, do something that they, you know, quality inspection, things that we know they need. And for those mundane, dirty, demeaning tasks within your building, allow me to do of just moving pallets all day from one side of the building to the next. That's really a great job for an autonomous mobile robot, because it's a job that not a lot of people want to do because there's not thought to it.
And do you have some examples maybe of a recent customer where you've implemented your robots?
Yeah. Good question. So, I mean, end of line food production, they palletize product. It could be boxes of crackers or boxes of, biscuits, or it doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, the process is very similar. They package the product, they palletize the product, they stretch wrap the product, and then they store the product or they ship it outbound. So part of that, those applications is taking the product from once the pallet, when it's done from the palletizer, taking it over to the stretch wrapper, and then taking it off the stretch wrapper and drive it to a storage location or drive it to the outbound dock. That little, those steps in between, or that long drive from the end of the stretch wrapper to the, you know, the warehouse location, those are things that I would like to do with our robots, with our customers. So those are, that's a great application for us.
So one of the things that we haven't talked about yet, is one of the beauties of using automation and robots, is that we're collecting data. And sometimes that data is something that they've never really had before. So how important is that to you?
Data is, I think we all businesses are becoming more and more data driven, right? They have the ability to collect it, learn from it. And then once you learn from it, you understand how your business is progressing from that. So we do that same philosophy. We have the ability to give you data of throughput within your building. If there's any type of congestion that we're seeing from the robots, we understand that real time and have are able to pass that information to the customer and understand with them, like, is if we see the efficiencies drop, is there something going on in your building? Is something changed? Is there something that maybe we can help you with, or maybe throughput has gone up and we realize that you're getting the most use out of your vehicles, and maybe your fleet needs to increase because right now is a e-commerce stream. Everyone's buying buying product off of e-commerce. So we can work with them real time to add more robots into their facility.
And how long does it take to actually tool up a robot after you get it from your forklift manufacturer?
So from retrofitted up to a robot, taking a standard truck and making it a robotic is the question. Yep. Okay. It could take a day or two. And we can do, if we have multiple at a time, in some cases we keep stock of these vehicles.
Sure.
So we can move quickly with customers. And then if we start noticing certain customers are needing demand, we can, ring them up and say, hey, there might be a potential need for you here. So allows us to work quickly.
And what do you see in the future for autonomous? I mean, you've kind of got this competitive edge, right? Coming from the sensor world, and SICK is one of your previous employers. What do you see in the future for autonomous?
So two things always changes directions with robotics. It's sensor technology needs to change. And then the software, is we're getting deeper into the software and understanding our capabilities and our limits, not, from a hardware software standpoint. So the sensors are getting smaller. Let me answer the hardware question, then we'll come to the software question. Sensors are getting smaller. They can do more. They're more reliable. So with that, it allows us to put sensors on these fork trucks in different ways that we couldn't in previous years, right? So now we have, let's just say, eyes in specific areas and look for specific things that allow us to do a new application for that customer that we couldn't do in past because we couldn't put a sensor there. And if we can't sense something, then I can't develop the software to go against it, right? And now, so does that answer the hardware question? Then I'll jump to the software.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's go to the software side. We're learning what's real time with our software, with our customers, you know, fringe cases. Hey, for some reason, the truck may not be able to see this. We have the ability to remote assist our vehicle in some cases and learn and learn from that data, right? Pull that data that's not proprietary. It's just sensor data. It's stuff that doesn't make sense to you, but makes complete sense to our engineer. Mm-hmm. And says, okay, now if we can adjust our software algorithms, we can do something that we couldn't do maybe 3, 6, 12 months ago. So put those two things hand in hand, the technology now just keeps developing on the same thing that the customer always loved, the standard forklift. They get, you know, reliable source of the primary hardware now just allow us to add small changes in sensing components and allow the software to grow with you.
Thank you for that, Jeff. So did we miss anything today and anything else you'd like to chat about while we got you?
You know, things that customers always want to know, I think you mentioned, right? Safety, yep. Understanding the IT elements of the vehicle, how does it financially feasible for me? Those are things that people want to know about. And why people don't go to this technology is the fear of the unknown. So I always like, you know, having conversations like this because it's our job to educate people. So my request to the market out there is call us up. Our first goal is to educate, get people more and more comfortable with the technology, and the industry is going to grow for everybody. And getting that fear out is the number one step.
So, Jeff, how can people get a hold of you if they have more questions?
Great question. Please visit us at vecnorobotics.com. Come to our website, explore what we can do for you. Please go to our contact us page. We'd love to have a conversation with you. If you could start there, we'll make sure that you're well educated about our product.
Our sponsor for this episode is Earhart Automation Systems. Earhart builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacture, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Earhart can build for you. And Earhart is spelled E-H-R-H-A-R-D-T. I'd like to thank and acknowledge our partner, A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They're the leading automation trade association in the world for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the industrial artificial intelligence technology. Visit automate.org to learn more. And I'd also like to thank and recognize our partner, Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrated digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing that and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And you can find them at paintedrobot.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Traction Industrial Marketing, and I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Chris Colvin for audio production, my partner, Janet, and our partners, A3, Painted Robot, and our sponsor, Earhart Automation Systems.